We're going to be continuing on there. I'm just going to set some stuff up real quick and turn there myself. All right. So last time I was with you guys preaching, we tackled the first 15 verses of Galatians 5, and before that, it was October, and I was in Ephesians, but before that, we were in Galatians 4, and so we're going to continue that trend and work through the rest of the book. Between this Sunday and next Sunday, we should get pretty close to the end, but not quite there. But yeah, so today we're going to be in Galatians 5, verses 16 to 24, taking a look at some lists and the spirit and the flesh. So yeah, as we read the whole chapter earlier this morning, we kind of set the groundwork for what we're jumping into. You notice in verse 16 that he says, but. So we have to kind of look ahead or look back to what was being talked about. So I'm going to read verses 13 to the end of the chapter, and then we'll get into it. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you're not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. All right, well, let's pray, and then we'll get into this. Father, I thank you for this morning that we can gather together as your children, that we can look to your word, look to what you had to say to the Galatian church, and learn from it. God, I just pray that you would continue to work this out in our lives. Help us to have a good understanding of the flesh and the spirit and the desires and things that are produced out of that. I pray for wisdom, God, as we dig into the text. Help me to articulate well your truth. I pray these things in your name. Amen. All right. So, leading into the text in Galatians chapter 5, Paul has given the Galatian church a good defense against the doctrine that was being twisted in by the Judaizers of works justify a person. And by the time we get here into Galatians 5, he's begun to play that out. If you are not justified by works, but you're justified by faith alone, you're free in Christ, what do you do with this freedom? And he gives an answer: you love one another. Not a fun answer all the times. It's hard to love one another. He even says at the end in verse 15, be careful, because you might bite and devour one another. You might consume one another. Our tendency sometimes is to not love, even though we're free in Christ, is to do the opposite of that. And so when we get to verse 16, he gives us the solution right off the bat. How great is that? He says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh." You won't live in this and pursue this biting and consuming, this absence of love. So we have the answer, but he's not done. He has a lot more to say about that. And so before we jump and develop that answer further, let's do just as the text does and flesh this out. Not flesh that out. That's work it out. Flesh is probably the wrong pun to use. We're going to work this out together. So in verses 16 down into verse 18, we have a tension, a relationship that's built between the flesh and the Spirit. Now, these are terms that we've heard before many times. You might have your own ideas that come into your head, or even, you know, other passages of Scripture. I'm super encouraged that Renaud will be preaching in Romans 7, which is a great complementary to this, in the next few weeks. So if I miss anything, he'll cover it. It's going to be great. But this tension here is something that comes out through the New Testament. Paul talks about it a lot. So what is this battle? What is this tension? I think for ourselves, we can think of our own experience and how we live in the moment and how sometimes we do the things that we don't want to do and we don't do the things we desire to do. Paul says that here. He says it in Romans 7. I think it's a very real thing. So let's look at what the flesh is. What is it? What's its desires? It says it has desires. It says, "For the desire of the flesh are against the Spirit." It's opposed to the Spirit. Now, smarter men than me have taken time to try to define this and work it out. Because in Scripture, there's no distinction when it talks about the flesh. Sometimes the flesh is just the body, you know, the part of us, the human part of us, the physical aspects. Here, there's actually a negative connotation to it. It's the flesh that we see in verse 24 that is crucified with its passions and desires. In Galatians 2:20, you have the other aspect of the flesh, the I. It says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live." It's not the I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. So John Piper, he gives this flesh here in the text a new term that I think will help us out. So I'm going to use it as well. It's the ego, the self-seeking aspects of our lives, the things that desire to be self-glorified, self-reliant, self-seeking. That's why in verse 25, the warning that Paul gives in the culmination of this is that we don't become conceited, self-seeking, envying one another. And it desires a great many things, most of which is to satisfy its desires by anything other than God. That's why when we get to the works of the flesh here, we see that there are things that God does not like, that he opposes, things that he's adamant about us not pursuing. And so we chase after these things. It's a part of our lives. We have this aspect to us, just like the Galatians did. However, there's also another aspect. For those that are sons and daughters of God the Father, we are indwelled by the Spirit. This is the third person of the Trinity. If you want to jump with me over to John 14, we see a bit of the aspects of what the Spirit does. John chapter 14. John chapter 14, verse 15 and 16 say this: "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever." And then in verse 26, it also says this: "But the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So this helper, the Spirit, that God sends to indwell in the believer, he desires to see Christ exalted, to bring to remembrance the commandments that Christ teaches. And this creates a tension, a turmoil in our lives. We have the Spirit that is desiring to exalt Christ, and we have the flesh that is desiring to exalt self. Doesn't sound super fun. That sounds kind of hard and difficult. And it culminates in this problem that we are kept from doing the things we want to do. John Newton wrote some pretty fantastic letters. If you've never read them, you should. In February 1772, just yesterday, he sent this letter to a duke talking about this very thing, about this desire to want to do the things, but he's, because of the flesh, he doesn't do them. And one of those things that he talks about is prayer, praying joyfully, and reading scripture joyfully, seeking after those things, but because of the flesh, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that consistently. That was in February. In March, he writes another letter complimenting this and talks about the things that he doesn't want to do that he continues to do. The one that jumped out at me that I wrote here is being prey to vain, wild, foolish, and vile imaginations. He just says they come up. My thoughts, terrible thoughts just come into my head. Vain things, chasing after things that aren't of God. Those things you can't really control. You can't control when a thought just appears. It just comes up. And so this is the dynamic that Paul tells the Galatians that they live in, the Galatian church. This is your life. You are free in Christ. Christ has the victory. He has won the battle. But you are still in the flesh. And this is the tension. Out of that, he creates two lists. Now, Renaud's going to be super careful, because if I get into just listing the things, he's going to cut my mic, so I don't do it, because that's my fear. He creates two lists, and lists are great things. Obviously, we can look at, throughout Scripture, about God telling us things about his character, listing these things, telling us things about what he doesn't want us to do. If you desire to chase after me and love me, don't do these things. In the same vein, he says, these are things that I do desire, that I want for you. Do these things. We have aspects of them here in Galatians 5. In 19 to 23, I'm just going to read through them and be very careful. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. This list is not exhaustive of the things that the flesh desires or works out. It's just a brief caption of them. And so what does he mean when he says works? Works of the flesh. If you look at this list, maybe you're like me and you think that doesn't really take effort. It doesn't take effort to go into a fit of anger. So work can't mean effort that you put into them. It doesn't take effort to have jealousy, to have envy. So what does that mean? What does it mean when it says works of the flesh? I think if we look at how the term work and fruit are not the same, we get a picture of it when it says fruits of the Spirit and works of the flesh. if the end goal of the flesh is self-glorification, then everything it's going to do is going to try to earn that. That's the same thing, that's the same problem the Galatian church was going through, right? When they were trying to work their own justification out, to earn God's favor or the favor of divine. They did everything they could. And for the Galatians, that was kind of a twisting of a doctrine, of working out our own salvation. They had turned it into an earning of justification. But that's not always the case. If you look at this list in verse 19, some of the things are very flagrant, belligerent, blatant things. Sexual immorality, orgies, drunkenness. While others are not so much. Jealousy, envy, those things can hide. In fact, yesterday when me and a few of the guys were here at the church working through this, helping me come to terms with it, it became apparent that you could easily use things that are listed in the fruits of the Spirit to mask those things. Peace. I could have peace with someone here to try to get them on my side of another division somewhere else. I could have kindness or goodness towards one person and not another, creating a faction, right? I could pull together self-control here and somewhere else, just release and be in a fit of anger. Jack actually kind of talked about that today in Sunday school a bit, how sometimes our decisions have consequences outside of the context that they're made in. So this flesh, the desires of it, the works that it produces, the things that it chases after, are very real. They're very present. I know in my life, I don't want to call anyone out, so you guys can decide on your own, but I know they're present in my life right now. Things that I struggle with, things that I have friction against, that when I do them, I say, I don't want to do that. Why did I do that? Because I know that it's not of God. It's not of the Spirit. So the list is not sufficient in and of itself. We can't just not do the works of the flesh and do the fruit of the Spirit. Because, like I said, sometimes those things can be warped and twisted. We can hide underneath of them. So it comes back to the source of these things. What are we being motivated by? We know that the war is within us, the tension, the battle. There's the flesh that tries to motivate us, and then there's the Spirit. So we know what the solution is. It says, walk by the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the desires of the flesh. We know that's the answer. How do we get there? What does that look like? It looks like this. If you want to turn to we're in Galatians 5, verse 6, sorry, of Galatians 5, it says, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So if faith produces love, genuine faith, if you can remember so many weeks back when we talked about this before, that genuine faith produces this love, then it means by living in faith or by faith. And that's what it means to be led by the Spirit, to walk by the Spirit. Galatians 5:5, for through the Spirit, by faith, we ourselves eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness. So our faith leads us in the Spirit as we have faith. What does that mean? It means we cling to the promises of God. We can look back to Matthew 5, what we just read. Matthew 6. No, I didn't read that either. John 14, sorry, getting lost in my notes. John 14, right? The Helper comes and teaches us all things concerning Christ. That's a promise. That is something to remember, to look back on. Galatians 3:5 says this. Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Paul even challenged the Galatians with this. He said, how does God work among you? Is it by works of the law? Is it by what you're doing or not doing? Or is it through faith? The faith that produces genuine love. Love that means interacting with one another. Galatians 3:23 says, now before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. Now that faith has been revealed, we are no longer captive under the law. So we can live out this freedom and produce love. Now, saying all that, we get to a warning in verse 21. He says, he ends the list of works of the flesh, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. And I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. It's a stern warning, a powerful one. One that sometimes I feel creates guilt in the believer. Because as we wrestle with these two desires, we come to times where we continually do the things that we don't want to do, that we work in the flesh, and then we come to this warning and we might think, wait, what does that, does it mean I'm out? Does it mean that I haven't inherited the kingdom, or I will not? And I do not want you guys to walk away thinking that. What he says here in this warning, when he says, who do such things, we lose some of what's being said when it's translated to English. The idea in the Greek, it means that those who continually practice with disregard. So what that means is that there are those that have no regard for the Spirit because they don't desire the things the Spirit desires, and they continue in the works of the flesh. So as my encouragement to you guys is that if you're wrestling, if that tension is there, that is a good thing. It's a hard thing. It's a thing that we have to continue wrestling with, but it's a good thing because it's telling us that we are in the Spirit. We're wrestling. We're having this tension. We're fighting these things. Now, it's not easy, right? Even though the victory is assured, we can say that just like verse 24 says, that those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The battle is won. Victory is assured, but victory is not now. This is a thing that's pretty close to my heart because in a lot of the people I've been talking to and the close friends of mine, they wrestle with this thing continually. They want to have victory now. And whether that's because of misguided teaching or just expectation mismanagement, they live in this tension of flesh and spirit, and they feel terrible and awful because they just think God should give them victory in the moment. Just give it to me now, God. But that is not what's promised. The promise is that victory has come and is coming. That we will one day be glorified. God will finish the work that he had started. So John Newton, he didn't write just two letters, he wrote many. But in the same year, he also wrote one in April, 1772. And he kind of finishes the thought of the things that he's been wrestling with in the woods and wood knots. And he says this, I'm paraphrasing, so don't say, well, you can't tell him I said it anyway. He says, God's power is exemplified. His wisdom and love are maintained and continues. And these three things, that God's power is exemplified, and that we continue to struggle and to fight this tension because he does progress us in our sanctification. What we looked at in Philippians 2 earlier this morning, he gives us the will and the desire to do it. So if we continue to battle and wrestle, we could live in this turmoil and tension of flesh and spirit, that's God's power being exemplified. His wisdom in that we do get small steps of victory. We're not who we were a year ago. Hopefully we have progressed by degree and degree in holiness. And ultimately, it shows that God continues to love us. He doesn't give up. He doesn't say, you know what, you're still struggling with that, it's over, I'm done. He continues to give us the will and the power to fight. The Spirit continues to strive with us. We continue to feel that tension when we do the things we don't want to do. That's paraphrasing what John Newton said. So the challenge for us is to not be discouraged by this, is to learn and continue to learn to live in this tension, to fight. Piper, when he talks about this, he talks about it as the flesh being a great dragon that is slain, mortally wounded, and as though it's dying in its, I think it's called death throes, I don't remember, kind of ballparking this now. Anyway, but it will still lash out at times, right? And that's the image that he's portraying here, is the flesh, although crucified with its passions and desires, will still attack. There'll still be times in our life where we are called and pulled by those things. That's why Paul wrestles with it. That's why he says the Galatians are going to wrestle with it. That's why we're going to wrestle with it and continue to do so. So don't be discouraged by it. Because we know, like it says in verse 22 and 23, that the Spirit also desires things. And those desires for us, as we exemplify Christ, will turn into the fruit that we have, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Those things will be cultivated in our lives, degree by degree. Maybe not big steps, just little ones. But the Spirit will do it because it exemplifies Christ in our lives. And ultimately, that is our goal, right? That is what we desire. If we desire the things the Spirit desires, it is that, to be Christ-like. So next week, we're going to develop this a bit further by looking at chapter 6 and seeing if we live in this tension, if I live in it and you live in it, how does that impact our relationship? How does that play in how we interact as brothers and sisters in Christ? So yeah, I'll close this up in prayer. Father, I thank you again for this morning, that we've had a bit of time to look at your word. Help us to continue to live in the tension. Help us to battle and wrestle with the things that the flesh desires, and to pursue and chase after the things that the Spirit desires. I pray, God, that we can be an encouragement as a church to each other, that we can rally behind those that maybe feel discouraged about this battle, this tension, and help us to just grow in doing the things that the Spirit desires and being more Christ-like. I pray these things in your name. Amen.